We're looking at the book of Acts, chapter 16, and verses 1 to 10. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions travelled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen. You know, no matter what our age, and age has come up quite a bit this morning, but through our lives, situations will arise where we have to make decisions. For example, should I move house? Should I? Shouldn't I? Possibly going for a new job. But is it the right one? And there's many other sort of examples that we can call on. And we tend to think that we know best moving forward on our decisions. So when something new comes up and we approach it, what's happening? I'm confounded by a door. But is it the right door? I need to get through to the other side, but I'm blocked. Why? I know that I've got to go through that door because I know all things, don't I? Frustration. Grrr. Now, in the reading that we've had this morning, you can see that Paul knew exactly how that felt. Paul's on his second missionary journey, and along with his companions, Timothy and Silas, they're traveling by foot. No bus, train or car, you're walking. And long distances involved. They spent time in Derbe and Lystra, share in the gospel, and then travelled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Then they were blocked. From preaching the gospel in the province of Asia, which is part of Western Turkey, the door was closed. What's going on? They move on. When they came to the border of Mysia. They tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. The door was closed again. What's going on here? Didn't God want the people of Asia or Bithynia to hear the gospel? Yes, he did. And you can read about it later in Acts and also in 1 Peter. But not at this moment in time. And sometimes life in our own hearts, closed doors, are just ways of God saying, no, not at this time. Now, our frustration of the closed doors that Paul came across, and they arrive in Troas with nothing but the sea in front of them and closed doors behind them. It must have seemed strange to Paul that God would prevent him from spreading the gospel. So a question to anyone here this morning, how would you feel in that situation? Could be frustrated, annoyed. What's the point? Why am I here if I'm not being used? They'd come a long way from the southeast to the northwest of Asia Minor. Must have been a lot of scratching the old heads, wondering what God's plan was and purpose. It must have seemed that all God was saying was no, no, no. And maybe at times in your life, you've been in a situation like that. And even maybe some of you are in that situation right now. How often have we wanted to treat God like a fast food drive-through? I want to place my order and immediately pick it up. Well, we can learn from Paul. Instead of getting angry and frustrated or trying to force ourselves our way into a new territory, we see that Paul waited for God's direction. The Bible doesn't tell us how long Paul, Silas, and Timothy stayed in Troas, but the apostles didn't move until God revealed the entrance to a new mission field. Waiting. We're not great at that, if we're honest. I'm waiting for the bus. It's already 15 minutes late. I'm on the phone to the doctor's surgery. I'm 27th place in the queue. Loads of other examples as well. We're not always good at waiting, if we're honest. But in Paul and his companions' case, the fact that they did wait brought on the door that God opened for them. And you know, for you and I, it's a chance to look at God's purpose and plans and guidance for each one of us individually, but also as a complete church as well. And it's good to pray sometimes and ask the Lord why he has barred your way forward. Perhaps the timing is wrong, or there's some unconfessed sin to deal with. Whatever the reason, it's important to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and to be ready for the right door to open for you. When an opportunity is blocked, God has a reason. He's providing love, protection, even when we don't see it. And he's keeping his promise to work everything for our good. We know the famous verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Let us just look at some of the reasons why God might block our way with those closed doors. Number one, preventing mistakes. Boy, do we make plenty of them in our life. Just because a path seems to be clear, it doesn't mean it's the one that God wants us to follow. Why? Sometimes we won't have the information we need to make a right decision. So he bars the way, either spiritually or physically. The Holy Spirit can see the whole roadmap for your life and for my life, which is why we should follow his guidance by seeking him. Number two, redirecting our walk. If we're honest, we're very good at going about most things in our everyday life, and we can easily miss out what God has for each of us. Sometimes God has a different opportunity in mind, and it'll be one that will yield bigger fruit, more contentment, and greater impact for the kingdom. Number three, testing our faith and building perseverance. Waiting for God to speak or act is hard. It's not easy. I'm not going to say that it is. It's hard. We live in a society where we want everything ASAP, as soon as possible. Bang, 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 bang. Woe betide if we have to wait. But if we wait, we'll learn wisdom, patience, and trust by pausing prayerfully until God reveals his will. For some, it's time to change down a gear from fifth gear to fourth gear, or we can miss out so much of God's direction for us. And lastly, buying us some time. You know, God may temporarily hold shut the door and an opportunity for service until a believer is properly equipped for kingdom work. You know, occasionally God can create some things that are upside down. What do I mean to that? even though I've repeated the reference of closed doors in this message this morning, the real message is that God opens doors. He has created a perfect pathway for you and for I to follow. Now, it's unlikely that most of us will go on a long missionary journey like Paul and his companions. But the mission field is still here on our doorstep. It's good to seek the Holy Spirit where He wants to take you this week. The Bible demonstrates dozens of ways that the Holy Spirit uses to direct God's people. Through dreams, visions, voices from heaven, prophecies from other people, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and many more. The important thing is not the method God uses to speak to us, but that we are listening to whatever it is that God says, and that we are ready to obey Him. The question being asked is, are you facing a closed door or an open door today? We're all on a journey, and no matter what age we are, we will all face doors, seeking the Holy Spirit's advice is wisdom personified. Amen.